Poppy Cox. I co-run a film festival of erotic bicycle movies called Bike Smut. And so we started eight years ago. In Portland, Oregon in 2007. It was just my partner, Reverend Phil, was the one who started it, and he had been making a lot of movies and movies about bikes and asking people from the bicycle community to make different movies about bikes and other things they thought were important, and then had the idea, what about how bikes are related to sexuality and sex? And it was a hit. Sold out the theater twice, I think. People liked the idea. here we are today. Each year we get new submissions from different people from all over the world. I think last year we had from five different countries. The year before was 7 or 8 different countries. So, a lot from Europe and America and Canada, mostly. But, I don't know. It's really fun.
It's awesome. Okay, Phil, why did you, in the first place, want to make films about bikes?
What was the story behind? Like, you made films before Bike Smart.
Yes. I like making movies. I think it's an important medium. I think it conveys a lot of information, and it's something that really can change people's lives. I think that the film festival, Bike Smut, is important for a variety of reasons, but something I'm particularly proud of is now with Miss Poppycock's helping out, we've had more female voices really guiding us than ever before. I think maybe 7 of the movies this year are made by women, maybe more even. It's excellent, you know, having the majority of them be these really powerful, strong, sometimes hilarious, sometimes introspective, and generally always really joyous expressions of why sex and cycling are great.
Okay, it's awesome. But bikes, tell me more about bikes. Why do you, like, this is something you want to promote in a way, and why is that?
I think cycling is important for a variety of reasons. I know that for myself, I wasn't feeling very active in my life, and it was a dramatic change when I started using a bicycle regularly. I felt much more alive, much healthier. I felt like I could connect with the community that I was in, even as I was traveling through. And having gone from, working in a car and driving all over the place, it was so different. And it just helped me understand how much, as a percentage in the United States, I think maybe people are spending, a tenth, maybe a quarter of their lives in their cars. Yeah, and their cars can be very comfortable, but it's still a steel box that you've kept yourself from any of your neighbors or any of your surroundings, and it's a very cold way to exist. And so there's no opportunity for interaction, and the marketplace of ideas that exists on every street corner when you are traveling by bicycle or under your own power, rollerblading or walking, it's just gone. You don't get to be able to have an idea and to share it and feel that those expressions to be acknowledged or improved upon or anything. And so it kills community.
Okay, it's very well said. I hate cars, absolutely. I think we should have alternatives. But, like, I would like to have a horse, actually. But, like, okay. I think next I will be getting a bike also.
first a bike, then a horse.
Yeah, I think. Or maybe I will get so into bikes that I will forget about the horse, no?
Yeah, I mean, it makes you feel really good to ride a bike. So, and it's so fast and convenient. And there's, like, you just don't experience the same amount of sort of annoyance and rage that you do on public transportation or riding in a car, driving a car. It's just fun. Fun and fast. Once you start biking, it's hard to go back. Like, if I don't have a bike, I get so annoyed and everything seems to take forever and I, like, don't even know how to exist without being able to just go somewhere when I want to and show up, and you don't have to worry about parking. Just sometimes you have to worry about parking. New York has the worst bike parking of any city, I think, ever. I just need a pole to lock it to. But yeah, usually it's really easy to park your bike.
But you have to worry about stealing also. Like, how is it here in Berlin? Like, if I get a bike, like...
I mean, you want your lock to be worth as much as your bike or something like this. No. But Berlin is not so bad for bike thieves. Compared to most places in America, like, America's really bad. except for Portland doesn't have many bike thieves. I think that they'd probably be, they get hunted down and publicly shamed in Portland, but most places, lots of bike thieves. But I think, like compared to London or something, Berlin's is a lot better for bike thieves. But yeah, you still want a good lock, I think.
All right. Then about porn, like how do you tell me? Like it's actually like for me, it's very interesting. I think that if I know that there is something related to porn around cycling, this will motivate me to start because, like, in general, I'm super lazy. Like, I like to walk because I need to stop to look at things and take pictures. And in general, I like to take it easy. So, okay, so how is it?
But you can take it easy on a bike, too. I think that's the nice thing about cycling is you, like, there's a lot of different speeds at which you can go and you're, you know, and you really have the option to go slow or fast. Because, you know, you're not going to hold too many people up, except for some cars might think that you're holding them up sometimes when actually you're not. Sorry. but, yeah, this is my number one hate is when their driver is like, and then try to go around you, and then they slam on their brakes because it's a red light, and then you're like, pedal up, you're like, hi again. Oh, look, I'm here. The cyclist that was holding you up, but actually the red light is holding you up, not the cyclist of you. Like, when you're driving in the city, you're not going to get anywhere that fast. There's a lot of things going on. Lots of traffic, lots of people stopping for lights and blah, blah, blah. My bike is definitely going to get there faster than you in the end. So, but yeah, but you know, you can also just have a really chill pace on your bike and not, or zoom around in Lycra really fast, or go really fast, not in Lycra. But yeah. But porn, more importantly, I think the reason why, I think they're related is, well, there's lots of reasons, for women especially, the bicycle has been a very integral part of, women's liberation. It was invented around the, first, wave of feminism at the turn of the century, and Susan B. Anthony, who was, you know, and she famous outside of America? I don't know.
Wait, actually, I don't know. I'm just nodding because it's okay. Interesting.
Susan B. Anthony, who was a big feminist at the turn of the 19th century, said that the bicycle has done more for women's liberation than any other thing ever. And still, I think to today, that even today, this holds true. Because it's something that you use your body to power, and you can also use your own hands to fix. It's the reason why women started wearing pants was because the bicycle put women in trousers. Like, that is and that is huge. like before the bike, you were in long skirts, and then the bike came and they're like, ah. And like, it was really controversial. There was like two fields of thought about if women, you know, some doctors really praised the bicycle, saying it was very good for women, blah, blah, blah. Others were like, ah, no. But yeah, it was always quite a racy thing, women on bicycles. So, and I think that really has continued. And porn. I'm still talking about porn. and I guess from a practical point of view, like, and sex, when you go out and say you want to, like, pick someone up at the bar and you were like, ride your bike there, but then, like, you start talking to someone and, like, they don't have a bike, gets really awkward because you're like, well, how are we supposed to go home together? You're like, what, I'm going to go with my bike and you're going to take the train, I'll meet you there? Like, it's just kind of weird. So it kind of, you like, the more you ride a bike, the sort of less willing you are to hang out with people who don't ride bikes, because it's just kind of inconvenient. And, like, especially people you're shagging, you don't, like, right? You're like, because you want to, like, travel with your friends to do things, you know. And, you know, it's fun to travel on the train with people, but it's the most fun by bike, I think. But, yeah, so I guess, and then also I think that there's something, you know, most cyclists are fairly independent people, and they may be more outgoing. I don't know, there's like a lot of qualities that make people who ride bikes more attractive to me personally, and also practical reasons. So then you realize you just are only ever sleeping with cyclists, and you kind of are like, you're checking out people's bikes as well as them, or like you see the bike and they're like, oh, I wonder if that person's hot, or you like start waiting by hot bikes waiting.
Okay, but it does sound like a good hobby, like now I start to get it.
Yeah, see. But and yeah, I mean, and you feel good while you're doing it. And I think, yeah, just using your body and being connected with your body, like realizing how much power you possess with just within yourself is also really sexy. And yeah, and I don't know, physical activity just makes you feel sexy too, you know, working out.
Yeah, this is what I say. I think, like, why I'm so interested in the bike thing is that I think that a modern person probably has lost very much the connection to the body because of the fucking cars, no? So I think it's very important that people start to, let's say, wake up and use the bikes. And this is why I really love the idea.
So yeah, and then, so porn, still talking about porn. And then I guess the other thing that's very interesting with the sort of modern porn movement, this sort of like alternative porn or queer porn or feminist porn and blah blah blah, is that, you know, women, you know, some women don't want there to be any porn, but then there was other women, there are other women who they're like, I do want, like, that they're like, there's nothing inherently wrong with watching other people fuck, like, if as long as it's consensual, like the idea of me sitting down to watch sex is not bad. It's just all the stuff that's made isn't that very good. So rather than me saying, oh, we shouldn't have this thing that's not very good because a bunch of dudes are making it for dudes, like, what if I made porn for that I wanted to watch? Feminist porn, there you go. And it really has really improved porn quite a lot. I think it will continue. I mean, sex is not going to go away. And until the human race ends. And I'm pretty sure that people have been enjoying watching other people fuck long before the invention of the movie camera. Like, you know, there's definitely lots of artistic depictions and from ancient cultures of people fucking, and I think probably people used to just go watch other people fuck. So, like, and I don't think that fascination's gonna go away either, but I think what is maybe more modern is this very patriarchal look at female sexuality, which, you know, is a very important, integral part to the patriarchy, because if women were just, like, allowed to be them sexy selves and feel good about themselves, and good about the sex they were having, and having as much or as little sex as they wanted to have, and, you know, weren't just racked with guilt bad feelings, you know, because that distracts them from all of their amazing powers, human beings. So, and if they just, you just, you know, that's what keeps patriarchy in place, is making people feel bad about themselves. Because men don't feel good either, right? There's like a lot of shame on male sexuality and sexual expression as well. It's not just women that lose in the patriarchy, it's men too. Women are maybe slightly worse off in some ways, but you know.
Mm, yeah, this is what I say.
No? Yeah.
Like, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy,
yeah,
no?
Exactly. So, I think porn. I'm talking about porn.
Well, this might be a good time to mention that our feature-length movie has been nominated for a Feminist Porn Award.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is totally amazing.
Oh, yeah. So I think this porn's not going to go away, but what can go away is the patriarchy, because there was definitely human times before the patriarchy. We're pretty damn sure about that. That came in with religion, mainly Christianity.
I love you, puppy. You say everything. I don't have to say anything. It's awesome.
But that was basically just the Bible is just a text for the patriarchy. Although we're not even sure if Jesus was a Christian, and Jesus wasn't a Christian, but like he might have been more in the matriarchal female worship. I don't know. I was reading a really interesting article about him and Mary Magdalene. So there's like two kinds of there was two religions. There was the male god worship and the female god worship. And the female god worship was a lot of like Jesus's like base things, like be nice to people, was like left over from, and like most people liked the female one, but like they're like, no, man god, property, yes, women, no, you are property too. And like we just agriculture, property. But actually they sort of just twisted Jesus's story a bit, because they were like, oh, it's like your religion, the nice one, but we just put all this horrible stuff in it, so. And I'm like, anyways, so
yeah, exactly. But this yeah, this is the problem. I think that the origins of any religion like are good, no?
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like
then it gets all fucked up.
Yeah, like the money is involved, power is involved, and then it's not like talking with God, it's
yeah.
Like hiring someone to do it for you and
yeah.
Whatever, no? And then to have these rules.
Yeah. So, but, so yes, there was a time before patriarchy. So I think there can be a time after patriarchy, and there can, but there will continue to be a time in which people will want to watch sex. That is going to stick around. So by getting rid of the patriarchy, we can then just have really good porn that makes everybody feel good. Which I think is why feminist porn is so important. Because telling it to go away is not going to make it better, it's going to make it worse. Making better porn is what's going to make it
pussy, pussy, pussy. Pussy, pussy, pussy. Pussy, pussy, pussy.
Illy, wetter than the Amazon, taste this kitty. Silly billy, pop them pillies. Smoke it like a swoosh, lick this feeling. Mold them, soak them, hook them like crack. After shot, molten, lava drop. This should be Afro, homie pop.
Pussy, pussy.
The illest on the planet. Better play your cards right in the sick gambit. If you wanna hang here, ain't no hammock. Never not bad, I lost your bandit. Never not bad, I lost your bandit. I do it right with drugs, understand it. I do it right now, please don't panic. Left, right, back to the middle. Head on swivel, neck till I quivel. Look in your mouth. Your mind gon' need Sherlock Holmes to solve your mystery. I'm nasty.
baby, what you thinking? AKA Titanic, so much wet will have your ass sinking. Shoot that tongue like a bullet, give me head, hey, blinking. This is so out this world, but no, you're not dreaming. Right back to the middle, head on swivel, neck like quiver, look in your mouth, taste the rainbow, here's my skills. I said left.
So the Feminist Porn Awards is this great thing. They've been going for 8 years? Nine years?
I think 8 years.
It's run by a feminist sex shop in Toronto, Canada, called Good For Her. And every year you can submit films that have been made that are within the genre of feminist porn. There's a lot of different ways to define feminist porn, but I think often it's made by women, and the mostly I think people feel good.
Would you like me to tell you?
Oh yeah, do you have the? Do you
sure.
have the?
There's three criteria. A woman had to have a hand in the production, writing, direction, etc. of the work. It depicts genuine female pleasure, and three, it expands the boundaries of sexual representation on film and challenges the stereotypes that are often found in mainstream porn.
No. Whatever is mainstream porn, anyway. No.
Well, mainstream porn is tends to be fairly formulaic with not a lot of touching, mostly just sort of sex for the sake of camera angles rather than the people feeling good. They have a very sort of specific look that they like people to look like, which is a lot of that is focused on the woman. And you know, I mean, you usually just see the woman, not much of the dude. And it's just kind of a they're like fucking machines more than people having a sexual experience, I think, is sort of the main thing that happens in mainstream porn. But, like, I still think that it's good to watch mainstream porn. I've been surprised sometimes. Sometimes mainstream porn can be great. You know, they can do a really good job. I'm like, wow. A lot of times it just makes you feel really bad.
Yeah, I think it's extremely boring. It's super mechanical.
Yeah, very mechanical.
Also, I think it's super annoying. You go to bed with someone and then you can somehow see that the person has learned the mechanical model of sex. And then it's like, but we are already here. Like, it's too late, no?
Yeah.
But it's like, do I always want to be the person to, you know, show that it's not this way?
Start retraining.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes it can be fun, no?
Yeah.
But not every time, no?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think we need more good porn, I think.
Yes.
And people should watch it.
Well,
obsessively.
We also need better sex education, but the fact that porn has become a default for sex education and most of it is mainstream porn means that people are getting an awful sex education, which is not going to work out very well for anyone. I was very fortunate. I had excellent sex education in my school. I think it could have even been better, but really I'm really pleased about that. But yeah, I hear things from other people about how they don't know anything, and it's just do you know this woman Cindy Gallup who started the Make Love Not Porn?
No, she
is a older woman, like in her 50s or something, and she sleeps with guys in their 20s. She's like a self-proclaimed cougar, I guess. and she's like, they're all very, 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 she's like, I never sleep with mean people. They're genuinely the nicest guys. But what terrified me was that they all had learned to fuck from porn. And she, as an older woman, you know, has been able to overcome the socialization of not asking for what you want as a woman, because we all are socialized to not ask for what we want and just smile and, yeah, it's fine, honey. But, you know, the older you get, the more you realize that that's bullshit. I mean, there's plenty of young women who also believe that that's bullshit. But yeah, she was like, well, if these guys, like, they're really nice guys, they're well-intentioned, it's not, but they just, that's their, they think that's how it works, because that's the only thing they've seen is this one way of having sex, which isn't a very pleasurable way of having sex for anyone involved. And she's like, well, and then if I were like a, you know, 18, 19 year old girl fucking her boyfriend, and the only sex education she's had is also from porn, and so she thinks that she should like this kind of sex, and he thinks that she, and no one's having very good sex anymore, and so what are we going to do about it? Like, sex education needs to change, but then also if porn's going to be default sex education, then porn needs to change too. So she started a website. Now it's like a video on demand website, so you just pay per clip, and people just submit their real world sex videos. So what this is what sex looks like in real life, not in porn life. And there's nothing wrong with having fantasies, but if you're only ever watching fantasy, then you know it's not good. So she's I really like her project. I think it's really important. I don't know if she's been nominated for any feminist porn awards. Maybe. Like, they don't have definite categories for the feminist porn awards. It's just whatever you can submit, films or clips or websites, blah, blah, blah. And then they make up the categories to fit whoever they chose, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what category we're nominated. I don't think they've released this yet, but we do know that we are nominated. So Bike Smut does not release DVDs or put films online. You can only see our movies at live shows, which we tour around. Never been to Finland before, but if someone wanted to help set up a show, we would definitely be interested in that. I hear Helsinki is great fun. my old band went there without me and had a really wonderful time, so great stories.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you're like, I don't think it's that fun. You never like where you come from.
Yeah, this is how it is. This is what I noticed, no?
Yeah. I mean, I hate everyone's like, oh, you're from Seattle. That's so cool. I'm like, Seattle sucks. Don't go there.
Oh, I dream about going to Seattle.
Yeah, see? Ugh, no, it's awful. Don't go there. So, we did, though. We don't release DVDs, but then we did release a DVD. Dun, dun, dun. So, because we personally made a film with Courtney Treble, who runs Indie Porn Revolution and has been making queer porn for like 10 years. Really amazing person.
Basically, the term queer porn came about because of her.
Yeah. She coined that term. Yeah.
Yeah.
So so we had the opportunity to work with her, and we made a short, but then we had this really awesome sex for like 4 hours, and she filmed it, and so we had all this footage, and we're like, this can't just be a short film for us. I guess it's got to be bigger than that. So we decided to do like a sort of 45-minute long movie with a really cute storyline and lots of orgasms on my part. They were really great. And so we released it as a DVD. It's also available on her website, Indie Porn Revolution, as like you can download the clip or whatever. So it got nominated for a Feminist Porn Award. Yay! Which is really exciting. Hey,
congratulations.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So we'll see if it wins anything, but I think it's just nice that it was nominated. And it was really fun to make. And you guys should check it out too. You're like, it's a, because it's, I'm mostly straight. I sleep with a lot of men, and I really, really like dick a lot. And so, like, in some ways, of course, queer people are much more marginalized, but because of that, they've had a longer grasp on making better porn for themselves. And so now sometimes it's the straight people that are left out. They're like, oh, there's...
something's going on outside.
But yeah, so then, straight people don't have as much access to sort of alternative porns that still, you know, straight but not heteronormative is the hip word to use these days.
Yeah, you remember it for sure.
Yeah. So this is a non-heteronormative straight porn with lots of active consent. And even though I'm being dommed by my male partner, we like definitely have sexy conversations about all the things I want him to do. And it's not lame at all. And we use a condom, and that's not lame. And I have just so many orgasms. I totally lost count. I was like so hungry after the shooting that, and so hungry and exhausted and happy. It was amazing.
Wow, that's awesome. Beautiful. Hey, I love you, puppy.
No, thanks. Okay. Bike Smut is in its seventh year, soon to be eighth. So every year we call for new movies. So we have a new program. So we will be calling for submissions soon for Bike Smut 8. Come Again is the theme. Do whatever you want with that. the call for entries will be out, but then also we are doing our second official tour of Europe. So I've been doing a few smaller tours. So we went to the UK in December, went to Poland just in February, and then we just got back from Switzerland and France, doing some shows in Eastern France and Geneva and Lausanne. We'll be doing more shows in Paris and Amsterdam and Brussels, hopefully, this month. And then Reverend Phil, who has been riding his bike around America for the past 6 months, because we used to tour by car because it was convenient, but it was also very depressing having to drive all day. And then, but you know, like, that's the thing, cars are really good for getting you from one city to another quickly, you know, and then you know you're going to be on time, you can do a lot more shows. But he was like, actually, it's too much of a headache. Like, it's really expensive to drive. We don't make that much money showing movies, showing porn to people. I know people think that there's all this money in porn, but not true. But the great thing is when you go with your own power and all you have to do to buy gas is essentially buy a lot of burritos, then it's a lot. Burritos are a lot. You get a lot more mileage per burrito.
Beautiful.
But he's been. He went from. Where did you go?
The bicycle. Really specific part of the tour. I went from Minneapolis to Montreal, almost to Mexico. And it was like thousands of miles and in the winter, and it was very challenging, but it was a lot of fun. And I think that, you know, I could have promoted it as this great alternative, which it is. I love bike touring, and it's really fun to be able to actually walk the walk that I'm trying to promote, not just, you know, tell people they should ride bikes while I drive around the country. So it felt honorable and good to do that. but it was really for my own kind of mental health as much as anything, my physical and mental health, that were, I really just benefited from being able to have kind of a some clarity. You know, I was traveling around, and it really is very frustrating being in traffic and finding a place to park and worrying if the, your van's going to get towed, and all those problems were just gone. And suddenly, it was just so much easier. Everything that I thought was going to be impossible, because I'm carrying around hundreds of pounds worth of gear, like a huge, heavy trailer, and I didn't think I wasn't sure if I could do it, but it, you know, the bicycle is an amazing invention, and you know, and my body was that much healthier for it, and so it was great.
So he's gonna go from Italy back, coming back up to Berlin by bike, which is really exciting. If you know people down there, let us know. You're going to do Italy and then go east to, like, Slovenia, Croatia, Czech, and you're going to go to Hungary.
Budapest.
We don't know. Probably Austria. I have great people in Vienna. We love the bike scene in Vienna. They are so much fun and cool. And, yeah, it's a hot, hot, sexy people.
Yeah, it's bisexual.
Yeah,
they are from Vienna,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, they are. We met them last time we were there, and they brought some of their wares to our show and had a little whipping session with one of the inner tube floggers that was pretty fun. And yeah, they're doing really, really cool stuff. Really,
yeah, like, totally beautiful. Like, yeah. Usually I like leather, but like everybody's vegan nowadays, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all this bike stuff, it's like for strap-on, floggers, whatever, it looks like it's the best, no?
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. So he's going to do that. I will join him for some of it, but I have other projects here in Berlin that I need to not be on long, extensive bike tours. But it's nice. I'm really so happy and proud that he's able to do this by bike, because yeah, he's been talking about it for a long time. He actually did it. Wow. It was like, I kept talking about coming to Berlin and I actually did it. So he's trying to make everybody's dreams come true is really what Bike Smut's all about.
And it seems to work.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, I want this too. I also want to start a film festival and go around the world.
Yeah.
I want to go to Mexico. Yeah, this is a good reason.
Yeah, and I think the other nice thing, I mean, the nice thing about women being involved so much making films for us, like, cycling and filmmaking and porn are all very male-dominated industries. So I think that's what really makes it the most special for me, that we get so many submissions from women and women's voices. Because, yeah, the numbers on women in film are so depressing. It is, like, the most, like, some of the most depressing numbers I ever look at. Just, like, like, yeah, like, 2% of all films made are made by women. And then there's that, like, how many women are even in a film? And if there is more than one woman in a film, do they talk to each other about something other than a man? And, like, the amount of films that doesn't happen is insane. Like, there's life in which women interact and have other things to talk about other than men. And then there's, it's like, porn is this one fantasy, but it's just it's made even more complex by the fact that even when we're not watching porn, like, we're supposed to think that our whole life is like this. Like, yeah, it's kind of really fucked up.
Yeah, but I tell you, okay, I just say this to be provocative, but I feel like very often when I spend time with women, all they want to do is their, or they want to, all they want to talk about is their relationships, their boyfriends, like, and for me it's totally boring, no? So I think, yeah, okay, but this is reality, I think, for many women, that this is all they have in their minds. But, okay, nowadays it's different. Like, usually when I talk with women, we talk about many things, no?
Don't you live only with women?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm a terrible, I don't know. I don't hang out with normal people, so I have no... I'm not a very good person to ask about what the standard thing that happens in the normal world goes. I have created my nice little alternative bubble in which everything is beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah, like, I am nowadays, thankfully, I have reached this stage also. But, like, yeah, the transition was, like, long, no?
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. Also the so-called normal people, I somehow remember a bit what it was like, but right. Thankfully not so much. Yeah. Like, present is more interesting, let's say.
Yeah. In closing, Bike Smut is going to be in Europe. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at bikesmut@gmail.com. And our website is www.bikesmut.com. And then there's all that other social media stuff. We're pretty easy to find. Bike Smut for those of you who don't know, because I think this is a very unusual English word. Smut is means dirt, essentially, but it also was an old-fashioned word for porn. Like in the 50s, they would have called like a titty magazine, like a smut mag or something like this. And then it's like, I think smut, like, it's not just like general dirt. I find it that it's like if you ride your bike in the rain and the dirt that like comes up from the street, this like really dense, like slimy sort of dirt. This is what I think smut is best described as. So that's why we have our name. Also, it was called bike porn for a while, but porn is very, people either love or hate that word, you want the people that hate the word to still come to the show. So sometimes it's nice to sort of, although I don't know, for you know, all those lovers of the word porn, they're just like, oh, smut, boring. but yeah.
Well, I really like smut.
Yeah,
like, smut. I'm going to start using it.
Yeah,
like, smut. For something.
Yeah, no, you can say like, oh, that's really smutty. when something's dirty or like, you know, raunchy. So submit a movie should you feel inspired, or put us in touch with someone you know who could help us put on a show. He'll be touring all summer. I don't know, tell your friends, come to a show if you can. Yeah, I guess that's it. Is there anything else?
All right, just to live those by the ideas that we're trying for. You know, if you can move about under your own power, I think you'll benefit. If you can have more sex positive behavior in your life, you're going to benefit. Your partners are going to benefit. The community benefits. Everyone wins with good sex and good transportation.
Beautiful. Thank you, no Poppy problem. And Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
To the bar, a man came up to me and said, you know, the older you will get, the more perverted you will get. Hey, I'd like to see you try it. How was you gonna do about it? What's up, be a bad priest? Give it a try. Bye. For me, I'm
what I did. And it's work, what it's work, what it's work. Self-crasher or be a good flasher. Hey, I'd like to see you try it. How what you gonna do about it? Hey, be a bad priest. Hey, hey,
generally, you know, consent is the idea that someone is actively choosing for themselves to have an experience, and consent gets a little bit, outwardly it gets complicated when you're talking about BDSM and kinky things, because often people who are into bottoming will enjoy having experiences that look non-consensual or are outside of the realm of what people would usually consider something that is fun and happy. The key there is that the person is asking for this specifically, and they're actively engaging with their experience in a way that is not harmful to themselves.
Yeah, actually, what do you think? Because I know that many feminists say that you cannot be a feminist and be submissive. What do you think about this?
I think that's bullshit. And I also think that that line of thinking has harmed a lot of people whose sexuality revolves around submission and being submissive, because essentially that line of thought tells someone that their own sexual agency and what they want is invalid, which is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, like, it doesn't really differ from, like, let's say, Catholic religion, because everybody knows that it's oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, some kind of feminism, like, it serves exactly the same purpose, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I have a personal loathing for that brand of feminism because I grew up with it. And so I had to deal with a lot of different types of guilt about my sexuality at a certain point, being a kinky person, because the feminists around me were telling me that what I wanted was wrong, which it's not, as long as everyone involved is consenting and everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, it's probably the same group of feminists who are against sex worker rights in general.
Yes. Well, they don't think that they're against sex worker rights. They feel, they honestly believe that sex workers can't make their own decisions, which is incredibly ridiculous to me if you can consider yourself a feminist and support women and people making their own decisions and being able to live their own lives, and just decide that a whole group of women and trans people and etc. who choose to do a certain line of work in order to survive under capitalism, that their choice is completely invalid. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is true. So, okay, you are an artist, and what else have you been?
I am an artist. I've been a social worker and a medical professional in the U.S. I've previously worked at a women's shelter for homeless women in the U.S. and also been a medical resource for radical communities and for people who do not have access to healthcare in the United States, which is up until very recently was most people. Most of the work that I have done as an activist has been unpaid, and doing sex work because of being able to schedule my own hours and being able to make enough money to survive and spend the rest of my time working on supporting my community. It's been a very valuable job for me in that fashion. Because there's definitely no way that I would have had time to focus on things like even learning the medical skills that I had. When I learned how there's a specific thing called an EMT in the United States where you work in ambulances, and I did a very concentrated course out in the forest where you learn also how to do search and rescue and all of these things, like how to take care of people hours away from hospitals. At the time I was working as a stripper, and I wouldn't have been able to take a month off of work because you were there for an entire month up in the mountains learning how to do this. So sex work has been incredibly valuable to me, and it's allowed me to pursue many different types of education and venues for what I'm doing with my life, whether it be art or social work or medicine. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I say, that, like, yeah, it's sad that sometimes leftists, radical leftists, have to have a shitty job, mm-hmm. like, because in the end we all still have to pay rent, mm-hmm. most of us, anyway. Yeah, and so I think for sure sex work is a nicer way to make money than, let's say, McDonald's or whatever. Definitely. In the United States, you have Walmart and whatever.
Yeah, we have McDonald's and Walmart and all of these horrible, shitty jobs that people have to do to support themselves. And I've actually talked to many different activists that have supported their activism by doing sex work. One in particular that I won't out her, but she worked in New Orleans after Katrina, helping people in disaster areas. I've also done disaster relief. I went to Haiti in 2010 with a group of people to do disaster relief, and I also would not have been able to take several weeks off of work if I hadn't been a stripper at the time and doing sex work. So, yeah.
Yeah. 32 when times were hard. He had a Colt 45 and a deck of cards. Steady. He wore rat-drawn shoes and an old Stetson hat. Had a 2840, had payments on that. Steady. His woman threw him out on the ice and the snow, and she told him never ever come back no more. Steady. So he walked through the rain and he walked through the mud till he came to a place called the Bucket of Blood. Steady. He said, Mr. Motherfucker, you know who I am. The barkeeper said, no, and I don't give a good goddamn to Stagger Lee. He said, well, bartender, it's a plain to see. I'm the bad motherfucker called Stagger Lee. Mr. Stagger Lee. Well, the barkeeper said, yeah, I heard your name down the way, and I clip motherfucking asses like you every day. Mr. Stagger Lee. Well, I, those were the last words that the barkeep said, 'cause Stag put four holes in his motherfucking head. Just then in came a broad called Nellie Brown, known to make more money than any bitch in town. She struts across the bar, hitching up her skirt over to Stagger Lee. She's starting to flirt. Oh, Stagger Lee. She saw the barkeep, said, oh God, he can't be dead. Stag said, well, just count the holes in the motherfucker's head. You ain't look like you're scouting quite a time. When I come to my bed, it won't cost you a dime. Mr. Stagger Lee. But there's something that I have to say before you begin. You have to be gone before my man Billy Dilly comes in. Mr. Stagger Lee. Stay here till Billy Dilly comes in, till time comes to pass. And furthermore, fuck Billy Dilly and his motherfucking ass, said Stagger Lee. I'm a bad motherfucker, don't you know? And I'll crawl over 50 good pussies just to get to one fat boy's asshole, said Stagger Lee. Just then Billy Dilly rolls in, he says, you must be the man motherfucker called Stagger Lee. I'm Stagger Lee. Yeah, I'm Stagger Lee. And you better get down on your knees and suck my dick, because if you don't, you're gonna be dead, said Stagger Lee. Well, Billy Billy dropped down and slobbered on his head, and Stag filled him full of lead. Oy.
Okay, so what is your favorite kind of client, or what is a typical client?
Oh man, I feel like typical clients are different than favorite clients. Because, I mean, well, there's rarely been a client that I disliked. There are sometimes when a lot of people ask for the exact same experience over and over again, it doesn't stand out as much as some of the more exciting ones. And I really like humanity and human psychology and like the really complicated and kind of weird things that people's brains do around sexuality, which is why I focus on BDSM rather than something a little bit more vanilla, because then I get down into the depths of humanity a little bit more. One of my favorite clients recently was a man who identified as a woman also, and just liked having sex workers come over and help dress him up. And so we just played around with fancy wigs and dresses for quite a while. And it was really fun. Wow. It was really fun.
Everybody likes to do that. Okay. Yeah, and like, to have a service from a sex worker, I think, is a great way to spend money if you have some. Because if you buy a new car, you have a trip to Asia, you have a new watch, then this is just consumers, and then you are a douchebag. But like, also you can have yourself a beautiful, intimate experience that is always special when you have a good sex worker.
That's true. Yeah.
So whether you give the service or you are as a client, this is a good leftist choice. Even if we have to deal with money, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Somehow, but everybody has to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not everybody, let's not say this, but most of us, more or less.
I feel like most people do. But also, I mean, I'm from the United States, which is a very capitalist country, and you're generally looked down on if you can't support yourself, and there's almost no social network for people. And having worked as a social worker, trust me, there is not a very big social network for people. And a lot of people don't even know that there is one, so they can't access it. And so money is unfortunately something that we all have to have and have to make. Yeah. Exchange our labor for money, which we can then exchange for goods and services.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend everybody to support their local sex workers. This is supporting local economy instead of buying, I don't know, plastic things made in China.
Yeah.
So, but like, in general, you have positive experiences with clients, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've only had one or two bad experiences with clients, and that was when I was much newer at working and did not yet know which clients and how I would work well with, because I tend to choose which clients that I see now rather than being very young and not really knowing where my boundaries are.
You can actually choose the clients. This is how it works for you.
Yes and no. Like, I have a lot of people, of men contacting me, but if they're rude, then I will never see them. Yeah? And so in that fashion, I tend to only see people that I have good chemistry with now, which is so much more fun. I don't know. I feel like at this point, because I've been working in the sex industry for quite a while, like I started as a stripper and then moved to doing sensual massage and then moved to being a dominatrix and also an escort, and occasionally doing professional switching, that I've been able to experience a huge range of different experiences and clients, and have like found exactly what I like doing, which is creating like tailored adventures for people. Like, I advertise as an adventure consultant. It's kind of a joke and kind of serious, because I really like taking people to places that they haven't yet experienced and like experiencing that with them. So,
yeah. And this is lovely. I think many people need to have their boundaries pushed a bit. I mean, they enjoy it, like, and it's good for everybody. I think it's good for the soul.
I think so too.
Okay, so Hex, thank you for the interview.
Oh, thank you for interviewing me.
I think it's perfectly clear we're in the wrong band. Ginger is always sincere, just not one man. She called me up and she said, "You know that I'm drowning. It's the dog trainer again. He says that he thinks that she needs more hands. I think it's perfectly clear we're in the wrong band. Senator, let's be sincere as much as you can." He called her up and he said, "The new prosecutor soon will be wanting a word. So she's got a soft spot for heels and spurs and the hands. Something believing in her voice again said, there's something believing in instead of just leaving. Instead of just leaving. Instead of just leaving." And she gets her cigars from a sweet fat man. I think it's perfectly clear we're in the wrong band. Oh. Heidi says she'll be sincere as much as she can. I called her up and I said, "You know that I'm drowning. I put on your raincoat again, 'cause even the sun's got a price on it. And there's something believing in her voice again said, there's something just leaving. Instead of just leaving. Instead of just leaving." She said, "It's time I open my eyes. Don't be afraid to open your eyes. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's right.